Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Welcome to the Week 1 Sit Start podcast here at QB List. I am Eric Smith. I am joined by Drew DeLuca tonight to give you some of the tougher decisions to make for your fantasy rosters in Week 1. For any of you who have not been around this offseason, just to catch you up here, Ryan Heath is off to Fantasy Points, doing some awesome work from them. So if you're used to me and Ryan on this podcast, it's going to be a little different this year, but equally as great. I am joined by Drew, who is our new editor-in-chief, taking over for me. You'll still hear a lot of me on this podcast, though. Yeah, we're just happy to be here with this new crew. We've actually also got a new crew lined up for the What We Saw / Waiver Wire podcast coming on Monday nights, Tuesday mornings for you. So we're going to kind of combine some of that into one podcast that gives you a bunch of good information after the weekend's games. So Drew, really excited to get into this. The season is here. We've got real football coming up. It's a great time to be alive. So welcome. How have you been doing?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm super excited to be here. Very excited to take on the editor-in-chief role. Can't wait for some great content from our people here. Our Sit Start team has been hard at work putting together our first week article for that. So that's going to be dropping tomorrow morning. So right around the same time as this podcast. So they do great work. Their insights and viewpoints are invaluable. So listeners, I encourage you to check out that article and see what our staff writers think about your lineup decisions for this coming week. So excited about that. Excited about our content that's going to be coming up in addition to our usual Sit Start and What We Saw. We've got the streaming articles for quarterbacks, defense, and coming soon, tight end. We also have our Beat the Spread and a player props piece as well. So all kinds of different content for you on lots of different fronts. Super, super excited to make that all happen for you guys.
Yep. And just a reminder, we are just going to touch on some of the questionable plays, maybe some flex plays, RB2, wide receiver three types. But that sit start article is going to cover every single player. So we can't touch everything here, but the article has everything. So if you missed any player you're hoping to hear about, please check out the article. It's a ton of work. It's really good stuff. And I use it every week. And I'm going to try to pull out some nuggets from it as we go throughout the podcast as well. So yeah, there's just so much good information there. So as we roll into the season, Drew, we've got some injuries all of a sudden popping up, and I thought running backs were supposed to be the healthy players, but it turns out like half the league's receivers just got hurt over like the past week. Like maybe we shouldn't have done this zero RB strategy. What do you think, Drew?
Yeah, that's it's interesting because last year I think some of the other top 10 preseason receivers and running backs, the running backs actually were healthier for the first time in a long time, and looks like that trend's continuing here. So the good news is that most of these injuries don't appear to be season long. A couple of them are definitely concerning, but I'll let you go ahead and run through those, Eric, to give the people up to speed.
Yeah, most concerning is Cooper Kupp, I would say. Hamstring injury, he's seeing a specialist. He's already out for week one. They haven't ruled out an IR, I don't believe. So could be looking bad for Cooper Kupp. Obviously, a huge scare with Travis Kelce. He popped up with a knee injury. He's questionable for Thursday night. It sounds like he hopefully dodged a terrible injury, but he may not play week one. We'll see. Rolling through, though, Mark Andrews, he's limited in practice. He hadn't practiced for a while, but he seems to be trending in the right direction. Terry McLaurin missed practice Monday and Tuesday, limited it on Wednesday. So the Washington wide receiver is trending in the right way. We'll see if he plays week one. Jalen Waddle seems to be good to go, wide receiver for the Dolphins with an abdominal injury. Mike Evans popped up out of nowhere with a groin injury. We think he's going to play, though. Jackson Smith and Jigba, rookie wide receiver for the Seahawks. He broke his, wrist not too long ago, and it looks like yes, he's going to play. So that was a stunning turnaround. Looks like he's good to go. We can maybe even trust him in our lineups. Another stunning turnaround, Jerry Jeudy. He seemed destined for at least a 2 or 3, 4 week injury and hamstring injury. He returned to practice Wednesday. I'm not sure if I'd trust him yet, but he's on his way back. Yeah. Kadarius Toney seems to be healthy-ish. He's coming back from partially torn meniscus. Looks like he's going to play. George Kittle returned to practice Wednesday with a groin injury. Hopefully he's going to play. And then really kind of out of nowhere news for the Packers, Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs had hamstring injuries pop up this week. Really not much word on them. So that'd be a huge hit if Green Bay loses almost all their starting receivers. So out of all those injuries, Drew, you have any thoughts, concerns, questions, anything stand out amongst all those names?
Well, yeah, I mean, Cooper Kupp is obviously a huge concern for me. When you hear hamstring and you have a receiver who's over 30 years old, I know the age cliff for receivers doesn't come until later than running backs, but, you know, he's not a spring chicken anymore, and these soft tissues and injuries tend to linger. And on top of that, his quarterback is also a question mark long term in terms of his health. So I'm definitely concerned with Kupp season long. I already moved him down very far in my rankings, and I don't think I moved him down far enough in light of recent news. So that's definitely a concern for me. I'm also watching Mike Evans curious. He did miss a couple of weeks of practice with that groin, and then he's still kind of kicking around with it. I think he's going to play. I don't expect him to be 100%. As far as JSN goes, when Pete Carroll says something about an injury report, I always take that with a grain of salt or 10. So yeah. When he says he's expected to play, I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, his arm could be hanging on by a thread and he's going to still be probable for the week. So I'm a little cautious about JSN this week, being new, learning the offense, and then top of that, having that pretty significant injury. So it's cool that he's going to suit up, but I don't expect much from him, at least out of the gate. And Jeudy as well, the hamstring concerns me. The video that I saw of him today was just throwing and catching a football. I don't know that he's going to be doing a whole lot of running around, and I don't trust him to be anywhere near 100% if he does play. So I definitely would not be starting Jerry Jeudy this week. As for Toney, Kadarius Toney, he's kind of been absent from much of the preseason, so I don't really know what to expect from Toney. And I kind of feel like if I've got a better option, I'm probably going to go with somebody over him if I can. And I'm definitely concerned about the late breaking nature of the news for Watson and Doubs. It could be gamesmanship. We never know with these kinds of things, but every time you see the word hamstring, it just gives you pause. So hopefully those guys are all right, and hopefully they'll be playing this week against the Bears.
Yeah, I think on the bright side for Travis Kelce managers is it's a Thursday game, so you can kind of take this down to kickoff and see if he's going to play. So it's not kind of like, you know, all the chaos of the Sunday games about to start. You can just kind of wait it out. If you have to bench him and he's out, you can. But Drew, I would say, I mean, with the tight end position, if Kelce plays, you play him. Like if he scores a touchdown, yeah, you're probably happy. So he could score a touchdown on 15 snaps for the Chiefs. So I think if you have Kelce, just take a deep breath, wait till 5 minutes before kickoff, see if he's going to be in there and make your move.
Yeah, if he's not, you throw him on your IR spot and then you just grab a warm body, whoever's left on the tight end. And we'll talk about that a little later on in this podcast.
Yeah, that's a great segue. All right, let's get on from the news. We'll start off with running backs here, actually. So this year we are going to have both Drew's rankings and we also have staff rankings up on Fantasy Pros consensus ranking contest. So for this, the sake of this podcast, we're going to compare Drew's rankings to ECR. So just kind of the field at large, how they're ranking players. But just keep in mind, if you want another second opinion, you can always check out Fantasy Pros. And we have some other staff writers here contributing to that. So we're going to start out at running back. We're going to look at Drew's rankings where he is higher and lower than consensus here. So let's start out some of the running backs Drew's higher on. We're going to start with Travis Etienne. He plays at Indianapolis this weekend. Etienne's fairly high here in the rankings anyway, so you're probably going to start him regardless. But I just thought it was notable that Drew has him RB5, consensus has him RB10. So that means, Drew, he's a must start for you this week. So why is Travis Etienne a must start right out of the gate here?
Oh, absolutely. I'm excited to see the consensus kind of come around a little bit on ETN. He's been faded by, it's kind of feel like there's two camps for ETN. You're either all in or you're completely out. But RB10 just tells me that the consensus is behind him as an RB1, obviously. And I've got him as a high-end RB1 this week just because the matchup, number one, and the game script that kind of comes hand-in-hand with that. So I kind of feel Jacksonville is going to roll the Colts, and I think it's going to be a very positive game script that's going to favor heavy usage for ETN. And he was highly efficient last year behind a mediocre at best offensive line in his first year after a major injury. So I thought that was notable. I think that gets lost in the sauce a lot of times. And I'm really not that scared by Tank Bigsby, especially this early in the season when you're talking about the nuances of pass protection and all the other things that keep rookie running backs on the sidelines. So I'm team ETN anyway, but especially early in the season. I just think it's too juicy of a matchup to leave ETN on your bench in any format whatsoever. I'm targeting him everywhere I can to put him in every lineup I possibly can. And that includes DFS. So definitely all over ETN.
Yeah, I mean, Jaguars have an implied point total of 25. That's one of the higher in the league this week. Favored by 4.5 on the road. The Colts defense, I think, was top. They were eighth most points allowed to fantasy running backs last year. So it's just, yeah, it's a really nice matchup. We'll see if he catches the ball. We'll see, you know, what his receiving work looks like. But I would expect high yards per carry, good shot at a touchdown. That sounds like an RB1 to me. So
yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because there's opportunities for positive regression in both of those, in both areas of not only touchdown volume but also reception volume. So he was underutilized in the passing game in a great degree. So you know, if they get to the point where they need to move the football on third down, they might chuck it out to him and get you even more garbage points. So on top of the ones that he's already going to accrue. That's a great point. So,
yep. All right. Well, I'm on board with ETN as well. Next up, we've got Alexander Mattison, Minnesota Vikings running back, finally gets Dalvin Cook out of town and gets an awesome matchup week 1 home against Tampa Bay. Drew has him RB13. ECR has him RB19. Sounds like you're starting him over just about all the other RB2s out there. So why are you so high on Mattison this week?
Well, I mean, again, we talked about game script before, so I think Tampa Bay is going to be a little bit better than people think this year, but they're not a great football team at all. But I think Minnesota shouldn't have any problems with them. Again, positive game script favoring Madison's usage. He's going to be a volume guy anyway. Even if for some reason Minnesota finds themselves be in a hole, he's going to be part of that passing game. He's not going to come off the field much, if at all. And in key situations. So given that role and that prolific offense, he just has boom week kind of written all over him, really. And Madison's also a guy, if you think back to last year and the year before when Dalvin Cook was there, people were a lot of the experts were pounding the table for people to draft Madison in round 7 and 8 as a high-end handcuff and who has potential standalone option. Now he's got the gig, and it kind of feels like a lot of people were kind of fading him unnecessarily. So is he Dalvin Cook? Maybe not, but he's definitely good enough to produce, and especially in a game situation like this.
Yeah, and I totally get it. Like, we've been burnt by running backs before that weren't super talented, and we were trying to pencil in a big role. But, I mean, this is a really good offense. Cousins is dependable. They're going to move the ball through the air a ton. And he's got no competition, Madison. I mean, there's nobody nipping at his heels. I know some of his backups have had defenders out there in the fantasy community, but, you know, this is not at all an ambiguous backfield. This is all Madison. He can catch the ball. I think some weeks it may be a little ugly. It may be, you know, 20 carries for 75 yards and some catches. But if we're getting that volume and some touchdowns, Madison's going to be just fine. So, yeah, I'm starting Madison everywhere. Until he shows us otherwise, I think he's plugged in every week. Mm-hmm. All right, next up, Raheem Mostert at the Los Angeles Chargers. Drew, you're pretty high up above him on this. I'll be curious to see if consensus catches up to you. You've got Mostert RB20. ECR has him RB30. Is this just about the injuries in the Miami backfield, or do you particularly like Mostert? Like, what's with this difference in ranking here?
Well, this is really ironic because I faded Mostert pretty hard the entire offseason.
Yeah,
and I thought for sure that Jeff Wilson Jr. was going to outplay him, that he was going to take that role. Kind of felt like he did to a certain extent last year anyway. I was expecting Devin Achane to kind of come on a little bit, but he's been kind of held back by injury. And of course, Jeff Wilson Jr. is now on IR. So until we see otherwise, this Miami backfield is really just a story of attrition. So, and he's ironically the healthiest member of this group, which is not on. We can't say that about Raheem Mostert very often. But you know, obviously Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are the focus of this offense for sure. But Mike McDaniel is also no stranger to running the football, and he's going to try to do that from time to time. And it won't be a surprise to me at all if Mostert sees more usage than expected as a result of that. So he's the last man standing in that backfield. There's really nobody else of significance that's notable that you look at and say, oh yeah, you got to watch out for him taking carries from Mostert. So I'm kind of feeling at least 15 to 20 touches for Mostert, which is a lot in the year of our Lord 2023 for running back in the National Football League.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Chargers gave up the 6th most points to running backs last year, so we'll see if they fix the run defense, but it was bad last year. I guess I am very torn on Mostert. Like, I don't really know what their plan was with this backfield. I get it. Mostert and Jeff Wilson Jr. knew the offense, but they brought them both back. Both have been, you know, relatively average and injury prone. And there were a lot of veteran running backs out there this offseason. They went for a couple of them, didn't get them, but I'm just surprised that this is the Dolphins' approach here. And it feels a little bit like a trap with Mostert, just knowing his history. But week one, certainly, like, yeah, I'm on board. We'll start him this week and see how this works out. But I don't, long term, I'm a little hesitant with this backfield. I want someone to emerge, and I just don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Mostert is kind of your typical system back right here. And I think this is exactly where, and that's, I think, why they didn't really jump on Kareem Hunt or Leonard Fournette or players of that ilk, because they know what they have in these guys. They know they're good fits. These guys are quick. They hit a hole fast. So I don't know that we have that same explosiveness anymore from Hunt and Fournette that they had from Mostert. And I think that's, which is kind of funny because Mostert's 30 years old, but they see him every day. They know what they have in him. So that tells me something right there, that they're going to use him and lean on him probably more than we realize.
Yep, man, there's definitely potential. It should be a good running game with McDaniel, and they'll have a lot of space with Hill and Waddle. So, yep, he's worth a start this week for sure. One I was a little surprised that you were higher on was James Cook, not because I don't like James Cook, but he's playing at the Jets this week. That's a really tough matchup. ECR has him RB28. You've got him RB22. Sounds like it's wheels up for you, even against a tough defense. Like, are you just so bought in on James Cook that you're just willing to overlook this matchup?
Well, like our friend Ryan Heath, I am also high on James Cook. I know Ryan has waxed poetic about him a number of times and brought out every metric under the sun to show why James Cook is going to explode this year. I'm pounding the table right beside him. I really do like him a lot. So that's part of it. I think that RB22, 28 differential, I think, is also a reflection to me of the fact that Damian Harris has been slowed a bit by a knee. I still expect him to play. I know Latavius Murray's around, and people keep saying, well, what about Latavius Murray? Well, Latavius Murray scares you from starting James Cook, then you don't deserve James Cook in the first place. So that's kind of where we are there. Cook, I think, also offers utility in the passing game. So he's going to rack up some points regardless of what the game script is. So even if the Jets, I think, are handing it to the Bills, you're still going to see James Cook on the field, and he's still going to be putting up some fantasy points just in a different way than we might have thought going in.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're going to talk about like Breece Hall later. I think someone like Breece Hall, there's way more questions on what his role is going to look like, how many snaps he's going to get. James Cook, maybe you could question if the talent's there or if the fantasy usage is going to be there, but he's going to be on the field. They need him week one. This is a divisional game, important game, and he's their best running back. So, yeah, I agree. We're going to see a lot of James Cook.
Oh, yeah.
And,
sure.
I think he's going to get some nice volume week one. So we'll see from there. Hopefully he does produce, though, because I'm excited for him.
Awesome. Yeah, I think James Cook got so choked up there. I think you're starting to come around a little bit on James Cook, though. So,
Ryan actually got me to draft him in my home league. So, it worked. So if that didn't work out, I'll blame Ryan. So, all right. Too much positivity here. Let's get on to some of the players you're lower on at the running back position. Let's start out with David Montgomery at Kansas City. You've got him RB30. ECR has him RB23. So, I don't know, with those rankings, if you're stacked at running back, you might consider benching him. Why are you down on David Montgomery?
Well, that's the thing, because I'm actually fairly high on David Montgomery. There's a lot of people that are, super high on him. And I was definitely, I think, around consensus, maybe a little higher, kind of coming into things. But I look at this matchup against Kansas City, and I know everyone loves the Lions this year, but I think it's going to be a tough sled for the up-and-coming Detroit Lions against the defending Super Bowl champions. And when I look at the potential game script here, I think it's going to favor Jahmyr Gibbs a lot more. It's going to favor Montgomery. So I think Montgomery's going to be a little bit just more game script and touchdown dependent more so than Gibbs this year. And I think this is one of those situations where I think he's going to not lay a goose egg, but certainly single-digit point total is definitely looking like something that's well within the range of outcomes here for Montgomery. That's not something that I want in my starting lineup if I have a better option. So I'm not against Montgomery as a flex option, but I don't know that he's somebody that I'm going to be really excited about starting with my RB2 this week.
Yeah, I've been pretty high on Montgomery this offseason, but I do get it. Gibbs is just supremely talented, and we don't really know how they're going to use Gibbs yet. So if they came out week one and Gibbs was getting 60% of the snaps, I don't think any of us would be too shocked. So the Chiefs get knocked for having a bad defense. I think it's just in our heads from all those years. But, I mean, they allowed 17th most points to running backs last year, so right around league average. It's not that bad Chiefs defense we're used to. So, yeah I get it. I'm probably – most teams, just the way I draft them, I'm probably starting Montgomery regardless. But I do think if you got some nice values and some nice matchups, there may be some better players. So, yeah, I get it with Montgomery totally. If he scores a touchdown, though, you'll probably be happy. That's probably what we're all chasing with Montgomery anyway.
Yeah, I would agree. He's in that James Williams role, and that obviously produced 17 touchdowns last year. But a lot of that value that Williams had was tied directly to those touchdowns. So game script to me matters. If I have a situation where I'm not comfortable that a player is going to go off or in a good situation that is touchdown dependent, it's going to make me fade him a little more than usual.
All right. Next up, next running back Drew is lower on. It's Isaiah Pacheco, other side of the ball in the Thursday night game. Drew has Pacheco against the Lions. He has him RB33. ECR has him RB24. So almost a 10 spot difference. Are you kind of waiting and see on his role here? Or what's your concern with Pacheco against a Lions defense that hasn't been very good?
No. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. And I think everyone's expecting the Lions to be better. And I think they will be better. I don't think they're going to be world beaters, but and Pacheco, I think, is still a fine flex option at RB33. He's like a mid to low end flex for me. He's definitely not somebody I'm going to sit outright, but I'm definitely tempering expectations a bit because I don't expect the Chiefs to kind of throw him right to the wolves out of the gate after two offseason surgeries. He had one, I believe, on his thumb, the other one on his shoulder. The shoulder kind of took him a little while to come around to on the thumb healed up really nicely, but the shoulder, obviously, just by the nature of the industry, the injury takes a little longer to kind of rehab from and come back from. So I think they're going to be a little cautious in some degrees in how they use them to some extent. So I think CEH might actually play a bigger role. And I heard that come out of my own mouth. I know what that sounds like. and McKinnon is obviously still a factor. He caught 9 touchdowns last year. He's been the clear third down guy. I just kind of feel like that there's a way that they rotate backs, and it's like more like a true committee. We've seen Andy Reid do that in many times in the past with when he had the Williams guys. He had Darrell and Damian, and you never know who is from which week to week is going to who is going to. I can see something like that happen, and it's also worth pointing out that the Chiefs have not had a repeat leading rusher since Kareem Hunt, and that was 5 years ago. So it's been a different guy every year. So I'm not saying that Pacheco is not going to repeat, but I'm saying that it's certainly likely that he's going to share carries more often than we would like him to.
Yeah, that's a good point. The injury stuff, we kind of forget about that when we get up to our drafts this close to the season. Because he's not on the injury report this week, so we kind of think it's all behind him. But yeah, he did not make his preseason debut until the finale. So the preseason. So he's not had a ton of work. That would make total sense. And you laugh about CEH, but I mean, you remember last year, he was scoring a touchdown a week, and we didn't know what to do with him in our rankings for about 9 weeks. So obviously, it was pretty clear that was going to fade away. It was unsustainable. But I mean, he was certainly involved at some point last year, so it's not out of the question that he has a little role starting out here week one. All right. Okay. Let's get on to the next. This is actually from our Discord. If you join PL Plus, we were part of that with Pitcher List. You can come in and be a part of our Discord community. We've got all kinds of channels in there, including our Sit Start channel. This first one, though, I snuck the question in on. We're going to pull some questions from our Discord community, but I snuck this one in. So, Drew, I need some help here. This is my home league. I already have James Cook in my starting lineup, but I have Breece Hall and Khalil Herbert. Am I really going to trust Breece Hall versus Buffalo week one, or should I just bench him, play Khalil Herbert against Green Bay, and just kind of, if Breece Hall looks great, then hey, at least I've got a good running back and I'll get him in week two. What do you think about this choice, Breece Hall or Khalil Herbert?
Yeah, I like your rationale there of, listen, let's take a wait and see approach with Breece. So I think we're asking and expecting a lot from him early, coming back from a major, major knee injury. That it's not like he sustained it in the preseason last year. He's saying it was like a kind of a early third to mid-season injury from him. And I know he's running at full speed, and that's all wonderful. But these things take a little while for the player to really trust the knee and really become the kind of player that he was before the injury. So I do have some trepidation as to the level that he's going to perform at least, especially out of the gate. So I love Breece Hall as a player. I thought he was a pretty cool dude. I got to interview him actually at the NFL draft in Vegas last year. He was engaging. He was really cool. And he just has just this cool demeanor and this is a quiet confidence that he carries himself with. And that shows up on the field too. So I just don't trust his situation. That's it. And it seems foolish to me, for the Jets, to put a full workload on his shoulders at this stage, especially after giving Dalvin Cook that really sizable contract in a depressed running back market. He's getting, upwards of $7-8 million a year. So that's a lot of money to just hold the clipboard for Breece Hall. So I think this is an unpopular opinion, but for week one, I'm kind of leaning Herbert here, actually.
Yeah. And I think we draft Breece Hall for his upside, because eventually you get a point in the draft where there just aren't upside running backs like him left. Mm-hmm. And so you draft him, he might be your RB1 or your RB2. But then when you have to look at week one starts, it changes the picture quite a bit. So I think I agree. I want to go Herbert. We'll see if I pull the trigger. I think Breece Hall, he has the talent that he can win this role and they can give him more work as he goes. But I do think we kind of need to see it first. So I think I'm on board with you. It's really hard to bench the guy you drafted earlier week one. So it's kind of like a mental thing here. That's what I got to get over here, Drew.
Right.
All right. Well, I promise our next questions from the Discord will be not mine. We've got some other ones in here. So I think that wraps up running back pretty good. Like I said, if we did not cover your running back, please check out the article on QBList.com. So let's get to wide receiver. Some receivers that Drew is higher on than consensus. Let's start with Chris Godwin at Minnesota. Drew has him wide receiver 19. ECR has him wide receiver 24. Do you think he's a really strong start week one with Baker Mayfield in a new offense? Like, I like this matchup, but are we really doing this, Drew? Are you ready to commit to Chris Godwin?
Well, yeah. I mean, ECR is wide receiver 24, so they're still saying he's a low-end wide receiver 2. So they're still saying, yeah, start him. But I'm just a little bit more firm in my saying, yeah, start him. That's kind of how I've seen this one. So he's back to 100%. So last year was his first year back from a major knee injury, and he played fairly well, that situation there. But, and, you know, Evans on the other side is going to play, but he's not 100%. So Godwin, I think, is going to lead the team this week in targets by a fairly wide margin. And say what you will about Baker Mayfield, and there's a lot of things that you could say about Baker Mayfield, but his profile is really, to me, no worse than Geno Smith was at this time last year. I'm not going to make a giant leap here and say that he's going to be this year's Geno Smith, but I will say that Dave Canales, who is the new offensive coordinator in Tampa Bay, receives a lot of the credit for actually helping Geno Smith last year turn things around. So, and he had DK Metcalf, he had Tyler Lockett and look at Baker Mayfield now having Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. So I see no reason that Canales can at least help Mayfield be serviceable enough to help Godwin and Evans put up decent numbers this year. So I don't, even if he's not, you know, the next Geno Smith, he should be decent enough and serviceable enough where that Godwin's going to be able to perform without issues. I think we're kind of fading both of those guys a little bit too much based on the fact that Baker Mayfield's the quarterback, if that makes sense at all.
Oh yeah. We just have to get past it. I think as soon as we see a game where it happens and these receivers produce, we're going to feel a lot better. It's just kind of the big unknown right now. I mean, like you said, Godwin came back last year. He struggled coming off the injury at times. And it was a very pass heavy offense, but he still had 142 targets. So that's pretty good coming off of a major injury. He should be better this year. So yeah, we'll see how good this offense can be. I do like the matchup though against Minnesota. They're going to have to put the ball in the air a lot and keep up with them. And that wasn't a very good defense last year anyway. So
no, yeah, it really wasn't.
You probably got Godwin at a nice discount wherever you drafted him. So yeah, I think we should feel pretty confident in starting him. Minnesota gave up the second most points to receivers last year. They got a new coordinator, so we'll see if this is going to carry over. But it was a good defensive target last year for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to. This is kind of a bigger question here, Drew. This is, you know, week one. We got all these rookie receivers we're excited about, and then you have to make a decision on if you want to start them. And it really puts you to the test. So would you rather trust a rookie week one, kind of like Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, or would you rather trust like maybe an iffier veteran receiver in that range, like a Gabe Davis, Odell Beckham, Rashad Bateman, Adam Thielen? Like, do you kind of avoid rookie receivers week one and just let them – you know, see where they're going to settle in first? Or do you just kind of go full bore? You drafted these rookies, you're going to play them.
Well, I think it's a fair kind of default stance to say in week one, I'm going to side with the veteran who knows the offense, who understands the speed of the NFL game and isn't going to be kind of blindsided by things they're not used to seeing. So from that perspective, I can understand that. And I think all things equal in a vacuum, in a bubble, I would probably go Gabe Davis. I like the upside. I like the fact that he's playing with Josh Allen, who is obviously, in my opinion, probably the best quarterback that's on the table here for any of these receivers. And he played hurt last year. And so we kind of beat Gabe Davis up a little bit for things that I think are a little bit unfair sometimes. I think his upside is every bit as much as it was last year. And he might actually realize this year to depress cost. However, this week he plays the New York Jets secondary, who in my opinion is one of, if not the very best secondary in all of football. So that to me gives me concern. And we know that Gabe Davis can be boom or bust. To me, you're just tempting fate for a bust week here from Gabe. So I'm actually going to cross him off instead of picking him, even though in a vacuum I would. OBJ and Bateman to me are wild cards, just like the rookies are, because OBJ, we don't know what he's like anymore. And you know, Bateman's coming off of a series of injuries as well. So and then a new offense. We don't know if he's going to be the guy. Is it going to be Flowers? Is it going to be OBJ? Is it going to be Bateman? We don't know. So to me, he's as risky as the rookies. And Thielen, he is likely to be held back by rookie quarterback, and he may or may not even be dust to begin with anyway. So at this point, I'm thinking I might rather take my chances with Addison or Flowers here. I don't really trust JSN week one coming off that fractured wrist. But Jordan Addison is going to have a role, and it's going to be a pretty significant one in a high-powered offense. And with a quarterback who knows how to give him the football in Kirk Cousins. And then Zay Flowers, same thing. You have a former NFL MVP in a potentially prolific offense throwing him the football. So I would probably lean to one of those two guys of everyone on this list from a week one matchup standpoint.
Yeah, I'm on board. I don't think we should be afraid of starting the rookies for the most part. I mean, in this range, there's going to be a knock on all these guys, like kind of how you just pointed out here. So sometimes it's nice to take the unknown. I mean, especially you look at that Baltimore receiving core. I mean, compare Flowers to Bateman. I mean, Bateman's had some chances. I know it's mainly been health related, but it just hasn't happened yet. I think I would take the swing on Flowers. He could just be that good, and he hits the ground running week one, and we know he's a legit receiver. Same with Addison, too. So, yeah, I agree with you there. It would be a little scary throwing Gabe Davis out there against the Jets. So, yeah, just kind of a philosophical question I had there. It was just kind of how much can we trust these rookie receivers? Because we don't have any of those, you know, Jamar Chases, you know, this year. So it's a little trickier when you're looking to start these receivers.
For sure. Yep.
All right. Let's get to some receivers that Drew is lower on. Let's start with Courtland Sutton. Actually, maybe the pack will catch up to him now that it looks like maybe Jerry Jeudy's playing. I thought this wide receiver core was to, you know, just all to himself. But Courtland Sutton had a nice matchup against Las Vegas. Drew has him wide receiver 39. ECR has him wide receiver 31, which I'm actually surprised that ECR doesn't have him a little higher. So is this skepticism on Courtland Sutton? Is it skepticism on Russ Wilson, the offense as a whole? What's your issue with Courtland Sutton this week?
Well, I think skepticism is part of it for sure. I mean, and there's all kinds of it all over this offense. I mean, we could talk about Russell Wilson and what a terrible season he had last year. Courtland Sutton, obviously, we'll talk about him as we go here. But there's all kinds of uncertainty in this offense. Javonte Williams is a question mark with his knee situation. He blew out not one but two ligaments, and somehow he's took the super serum and now he's ready to play week one. So we don't know if Judy's going to be anything close to 100%, even if he does play this week, which I doubt. I don't think he'll probably be 100% until probably at least week three or four. Or at a minimum to me, when you're talking about a hamstring injury and the high risk of recurrence and things. And we've been down this road before if you've been playing fantasy football as long as we have. So one thing I am confident in with this Broncos team is that Marvin Mims is going to be more of a difference maker, I think, than people realize. So we get JSN and Jordan Addison and Flowers have kind of captured the press. And I think Mims is starting to get his due a little bit. There's an undercurrent, a strong undercurrent now of Marvin Mims people, and I'm banging the drum with them. To me, Sutton has been more or less a disappointment for years now. There's not a whole lot really here when you look around all the question marks. That gets me super excited for a time machine trip back to 2019 to the last time that he was legitimately a thing. So now I will say this: I know that Howard Bender on Fantasy Alarm, who is an awesome dude, I got a chance to meet him at the expo and hang with him last year for a while. He's very high on Sutton this year. He's drafting him pretty much everywhere he can in that mid range. So there are definitely people who are higher on most than Sutton, and they have their reasons. And I respect that. And I side with Howard a lot, but just not in this case.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you mentioned even 2019, that season we kind of all remember. I mean, Sutton had 72 catches and 6 touchdowns. I mean, yeah, he went over 1,000 yards, but, It's probably not even as great as we remember. I know he had a hot stretch there, but yeah, I can understand being out on Sutton until he proves it, because we've kind of been waiting this breakout for a while now. So yeah, I have no problem fading this Broncos offense. There's just a lot of moving pieces here, and yeah, I kind of want to see it first before I really buy in. So okay, let's get to our Discord sit start question of the week for wide receiver. This one comes courtesy of Matt Nielsen. He's got a few of them here, Drew. So he starts out with Michael Pittman against Jacksonville or Marquise Brown at Washington. Out of those two, which ones would you prefer?
I don't really like either one this week, given their quarterback situations. So in a bubble, they're both sits to me. But I feel better about Pittman as a player than I do about Marquise Brown. Just because I don't know that Brown's 100% back to health from those ongoing foot issues, it feels like he's been battling them for a couple of years now. So I think we all want Marquise Brown to be 100%. I'm not sure he is yet. We'll find out, certainly enough. But I'm not sure that I guess Clayton Tune's not starting anymore. But I think is this Josh Dobbs, I think, that they traded for. Yeah. So I don't know that he's going to be the guy to unlock Marquise Brown as the deep threat that we expect to see if he's really going to offer us the value. He might just get a ton of targets. He's kind of maybe rich man's Greg Dortch, for all we know. It could be. But I just kind of feel like that. I know that Pittman's going to see a very large target share, and I feel confident in his health. I feel confident in his role. So I kind of have the two. Give me Pittman.
Yeah, I think he's got a better shot at an explosive play with Richardson. You know, they can scheme something up. And I think Marquise Brown even popped up with a hamstring thing this week. I could be wrong. He's always on and off the injury report. So, yeah, right. I would take Pittman over Marquise Brown as well. Matt also wanted to know Van Jefferson at Seattle or Romeo Doubs at Chicago. Obviously, Van Jefferson is much more interesting now that Cooper Kupp is out. So what do you think, Van Jefferson or Romeo Doubs? This is full PPR, you noted.
Yeah, and I'm not really that high on either of these dudes either. I should be higher on Jefferson with Kupp being out, but really that makes me like Tyler Higbee more than anyone. And I know Jefferson is going to ascend to the wide receiver one role, but that also means he's going to be seeing cornerback ones as well. So I don't know that he's going to be that kind of a difference maker to really capitalize on that opportunity. Puka Nacua is going to get an extra look. Tutu Atwell will probably, I would imagine, would probably be your hopefully stretch the field kind of a guy. So I don't have a whole lot of confidence with any of the one in that trio, really. But given that Dobbs has battled that hamstring that just came out, I guess, today, I mean, I want the player that's going to be healthy, or at least I don't have to worry about whether or not they're going to, you know, even suit up, much less leave the game with an injury that they're aggravating, you know, as they're trying to play at game speed. So all things considered, I'm going to go Jefferson.
Yeah, I would go Dobbs for sure if he's healthy. But it is a bit concerning, hamstring injury midweek. So keep an eye on that. I would caution anyone out there to get too excited about Van Jefferson. Like, it's just it's just nowhere near the same planet of player between him and Cooper Kupp. So you can't really just pencil him in for that work. The offense could run differently. He could play the same role and someone steps into Cooper Kupp's role. Like, there's just a lot of moving pieces there. So you could definitely get some flex value out of him. But I would man, I had some hopes for this Rams offense that between McVay and Stafford and Kupp, they could still manage to have a pretty good offense here. And I am a little worried with Cooper Kupp hurt week one. So I think I'm ready to bail on this whole offense.
Yeah, okay. For sure. Yep.
I think that wraps up wide receiver. Good stuff there. So let's get on to quarterback. This one will be a little bit quicker. We tend to generally focus on streamers, lower end quarterbacks, because I hope you're not benching, Josh Allen out there. So just keep him in your lineups, regardless of matchup. So let's start with the quarterback Drew is higher on. We're going to start with Aaron Rodgers against Buffalo. Drew has him QB 12. ECR has him QB 18. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers here? Is this a season-long thing? Is this a week one thing? What are your thoughts here?
I think out the gate, I think we talked about Breece Hall a little bit and some of the uncertainty about his injury situation and how much they're going to lean on him. It just makes sense to me that you bring in a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you use a guy like Aaron Rodgers, especially with Breece Hall coming back from major injury. I know they gave Dalvin Cook a lot of money, but he's had on and off shoulder issues as well, too. So why would they not, go to the air and let Aaron Rodgers, air it out? Well, he's fresh. He's healthy. He's invigorated. He's I kind of feel like he's ready to make a statement in that first game out of Green Bay, and that night game just kind of adds extra juice for him. So I don't really think there's going to be a major point differential between where I have him at QB 12 and where ECR has him as QB 18. I think it's kind of a narrow point differential as far as points scored for those guys. That's one of the reasons why we typically wait to draft quarterbacks in the first place anyway, because of that flattening of that curve, if you will. I wouldn't be afraid to start him if you're streaming. He certainly wouldn't be a guy I'm avoiding because he has to play the Bills. So even if, like we said before about game scripts, even if he goes down, they're going to have to throw, to stay in the game. He's probably going to have to throw. So I kind of feel like that there's enough reason for me here to be comfortable starting him if I had to.
Yep. And like I mentioned before, this is a big game. I know it's week one and we're all just kind of enjoying this, but this is a divisional matchup and that's going to be a tight division. So they're going to be chucking it if they have to stay in this game. So, I think Aaron Rodgers will, I would guess he throws two touchdowns at least. What do you think? He's going to get in the end zone. You know how he loves throwing in those 3-yard touchdowns when he can. So, I agree with you there on Rodgers. I think he's a good start.
Yeah, and he's waxed poetic about Garrett Wilson and how talented he is, and it's been cool to watch that whole thing develop there. And of course, he brought half of his posse over from Green Bay in the form of Alan Lazard, and like Randall Cobb, I think, is still there. So we'll see. No word yet whether Donald Driver's going to come out of retirement, but we'll see. So.
Yeah, Jordy Nelson too. All right. Drew is lower on Dak Prescott at the Giants this week. Kind of a flip-flop of Aaron Rodgers, actually. Drew has him at QB 17. ECR has him at QB 10. So what are your thoughts here on Dak? And again, is this kind of a week one thing, or is this maybe being down on him for the season?
I think it's more just me being down on him for the season. So when the head coach comes out and says, Kellen Moore wants to run up the scoreboard and light up the scoreboard, but I want to run the damn ball. That doesn't really get me excited for Dak Prescott. So, and he on top of that led the NFL in interceptions last season, and he doesn't run like he used to either when he offered a lot of fantasy utility. So I kind of feel like he's overvalued in general due to that name recognition that I think is tied to that perception that he runs a lot more than he really does anymore. And also that star on the side of his helmet sometimes props up a player a little bit more. Sometimes certain players from certain teams, I think, get a little extra love. And his situation for me is a lot closer to Russell Wilson right now than it is for me to Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence and some of these guys. I think people are expecting him to kind of reaffirm himself in that level of quarterback again. So to me, I think it's just as likely that he basically becomes this year's Russell Wilson. where he kind of has a really tough situation and a forgettable coaching situation, because I'm not a Mike McCarthy truther at all. So, and you know, I don't know that, and that philosophy, I don't think is going to be a good fit for him. So I think controlling the football on offense with Tony Pollard, allowing that boring ball control passing attack, if they use one, to kind of leverage their team's greatest strength, is going to be their key, and that's their defense. So I think the Cowboys are going to compete this year because their defense is that good. So I don't know that they're going to want to try to put Prescott in a situation where he's going to be chucking the ball downfield and turning it over and putting pressure on that elite unit. I think they're going to try to do things to kind of set that defense up to take every advantage of them as the strength of the team.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of Dak's really good fantasy years came when they were slinging the ball. I mean, he was throwing 55 attempts a game. It was absurd volume. And I mentioned on the divisional preview, but Brian Schottenheimer, every stop along the way, he has been the coordinator of a run heavy offense. Doesn't mean it's going to happen here, but that's a far cry from what the Cowboys used to be, just throwing the ball all over the yard. So there's a chance this is a run heavy offense. I think it's pretty certain they're at least not going to be a super pass heavy offense. So yeah, let's see what happens here with Dak for a little bit. I wouldn't worry about CeeDee Lamb or anything, but I'm not sure if he's going to have crazy volume unless it's some shootout games. And I wouldn't project Dallas versus the Giants to be a shootout game here week one.
Probably not. Yeah.
We've seen these NFC East games on Sunday Night Football way too much, Drew. The rest of the country, we're like, man, we got another one. So we know how these go. It's like 17-13 probably. All right, let's get to our quarterback Discord sit start question of the week. This was another one from Matt Nielsen, and this is a good one. I like this one. Anthony Richardson versus Jacksonville or Brock Purdy at Pittsburgh. Week one, 6 point per passing touchdown, but I mean, really, this could apply to any scoring setting. So do you want Anthony Richardson, go with the upside, or Brock Purdy? I don't know. Is that going with safety? I'm not sure if Brock Purdy's safety, but which one do you want?
Well, and that's an interesting question. And this is a great question for me. This is we could probably spend a lot more time on this than we will. But I think Richardson offers the higher floor just because of his rushing ability. And I'm gonna take flack for this though. But I'm gonna take Purdy just because it's a 6 point per passing touchdown league. And you're talking about Kittle. We're talking about Debo Samuel. You're talking about Brandon Ayuk. You're talking about Christian McCaffrey. All these weapons he has to throw to, it's going to be very difficult for me for him to see him not throwing for at least two touchdowns, which is 12 points right there. On top of that, Richardson, on the other hand, he could run for 100 yards. But if your league penalizes for turnovers, and I think 2 to 3 turnovers for him is not just likely, but almost an expectation in his first NFL game with so little experience going back to high school. I just kind of feel like that's going to eat away at the rushing floor a little bit. So I do think he's going to be, a guy that we should be rostering. I think he's a guy that we should be excited about some weeks. I kind of feel like that. I'll say this. I'm starting Jacksonville defensive special teams unit everywhere I can this week, because not only is Richardson likely prone to turn the ball over, but on top of that, last year Jacksonville was the number 6 scoring unit of all in the NFL in fantasy. And they were number 1 at the last 5 games of season, from week 14 on. So I kind of feel like people are sleeping on the Jacksonville defense a little bit as it is. And now they get an opportunity to really kind of feast. So I'm a little concerned. I think this could be, I'm not going to say a Nathan Peterman debut, but it could be ugly. But I think that his rushing ability is going to save him from a total, disgrace of a performance. From a fantasy perspective, but I just kind of feel like that Purdy is a guy that I know what I kind of feel like I know what I'm getting there, and I kind of feel like it's going to be a little bit better than we think.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Shanahan do this with so many quarterbacks. Yeah, I mean, even if you're kind of down on Purdy, it's hard to not see a decent game. Yeah, Richardson's interesting for me. I think I would be way more out on him if it wasn't for Shane Steichen as the coach, and I just kind of hope that they're going to use him the right way, mm-hmm. If this was just dropped into some random team, I'd be pretty down on him. I mean, you look back at the game log from, like, Justin Fields in his rookie year. He did not hit the ground, like, running, excuse the pun there. Like, he wasn't even rushing that much early on. Yeah. Like, there were some really low passing volume games where he only had 38 yards rushing. So, like, that is the worry here, is that Richardson goes out and throws 3 picks and rushes for 45 yards, and it's a miserable game. But like I said, I have more optimism because of the coaching staff, because I hope they just kind of mirror the Jalen Hurts situation. And that's obviously not going to happen week one, but that does give me a little bit more optimism. So it's a tough one, but I think I side with you. I mean, I guess it depends on your matchup. It depends on your league. But if you don't want a giant goose egg, I feel pretty confident that Brock Purdy's going to move this offense. They're going to put up some points, and you'll be relatively happy. Pittsburgh's a tough defense, but their corners are not great. So I think they can exploit this team.
Yeah, I think you drafted Richardson likely in your league because you felt that he might be something. And if you're starting him week one here and you have both of those guys, then you're telling us that I know he's something. And I think it's a little bit premature to sit to kind of take that path as far as I'm concerned. If I have an option like Purdy, I think he's actually underdrafted and undervalued right now. I'd rather have Purdy against the Steelers, like I said, than Richardson against Jacksonville. And you talked before about the Fields, the parallel there. Fields at least had, you know, David Montgomery, who was a very serviceable, capable NFL running back. Whereas Richardson has Deion Jackson, Evan Hall, and Zach Moss, I think, playing with 1.5 arms. I think his wrist is healed. So I that doesn't inspire confidence to me that they're going to be able to kind of take the pressure off of him in the run game. So I know Deion Jackson, I guess, looked good in the preseason, but it's a whole different ballgame when you're playing against NFL's first team starters for 60 minutes.
Yeah, and even the receivers. I mean, we like Pittman. He's had his moments. I don't know that he's an elite wide receiver one by any means. And then Alec Pierce is kind of a work in progress. So yeah, you would like to have a better infrastructure around him for sure to trust him week one. So yeah, I'm on board. Start Purdy, especially in a 6 passing touchdown league. But I think you kind of knew when you drafted Richardson, it was going to be a little bit of a slow roll here to start. So hopefully he gets moving here pretty soon. So I think I'm on board there. I will also note, check out Benjamin Howler's streamers article, on QBList.com. He can cover our QB list streamers for us. I'd say probably my favorite of his QB streaming options this week, would be Jordan Love, at Chicago, only 31% rostered on Yahoo when he wrote this up. So Jordan Love is out there. If for some reason you need a quarterback week one, I think you got a pretty good option. So I don't know about you, Drew, but that's probably where I'm looking for a streamer.
Yeah, for streaming quarterbacks, I like David Carr this week, 39% owned, I think, in Yahoo, and I just looked a minute a little bit ago. We're looking at Chris Olave, obviously, being a thing. Michael Thomas is actually on the field. He's going to play. He's going to actually put an NFL uniform on, which is kind of cool. And we'll see what he could do in it. I know you love Juwan Johnson. He's there. And of course, the everyone's favorite touchdown vulture, Taysom Hill. So there's enough cast. There's enough of a cast there, I think, for Carr to kind of have a decent week this week. So if you don't have a quarterback of significance, you could definitely do a lot worse than Carr, than Derek Carr. And also Sam Howell is another one to watch as well against that terrible, awful Arizona Cardinals unit. That whole team is just a cesspool right now. And I just think it's set up well for him to have, even with McLaurin being uncertain, there's nothing wrong with Jahan Dotson. There's nothing wrong with Antonio Gibson. There's enough there, I think, where Howell can put together a pretty significant. I'm not saying he's going to be, QB1 or anything, or even a top 10 quarterback, but he's definitely not going to hurt you, and he's definitely not going to be the reason you lose if you start him.
Yep. Well, check out Benjamin Howler's article for that. He's got lots more information on good QB streamers. I'll have that coming all year long. So let's get on to tight ends. Tight ends and defense, we typically just focus on the streaming options. Most people don't have two of the top 5 or 6 tight end options. It's really not worth debating it. So let's just get down to some of the options that are under 50% rostered in case you're kind of in a tough spot at tight end and you need some help this week. So I threw together some names here. I'll see what Drew thinks of these. I'll give some inputs on these as well. I am ranking tight ends this year. So let's start out. We've got Juwan Johnson, the aforementioned Juwan Johnson, home against Tennessee. He's only 44% rostered in Yahoo leagues. Greg Dulcich, versus Las Vegas, only 40% rostered. Gerald Everett versus Miami, 41% rostered. And Jake Ferguson at the Giants, 32% rostered. Any of those stand out, Drew? If you have, maybe Kelsey doesn't play or Kittle doesn't play or something like that, which one of these tight ends are you going with?
I mean, if Kelsey doesn't play, then you could throw Noah Gray into this argument as well. I mean, yep. He's a guy that, and that's what Mahomes does. He finds a guy and then out of nowhere he becomes relevant. So I would throw him into this list as well if Kelsey doesn't play. But from this list, I mean, you know, you like Juwan Johnson, and I could get behind that this week. Dulcich is a guy that everyone was in love with, and then everyone kind of fell off of him. And now with Judy being uncertain, I think there's a role for him again, where he could come up and step in that spot. So I'm definitely not against him in that matchup against the Raiders. And I also do like Everett, Gerald Everett, a lot. So if you included last year's playoffs in from start to finish last year, Everett would have been a top 10 to top 12 tight end last year. So he had a couple of big games down there. Listen, he's in Kellen Moore's offense. And last year, Kellen Moore made Dalton Schultz fantasy relevant in a big way. And I think Everett's actually more talented than Dalton Schultz. So, and we know that Quentin Johnson is not quite ready at the wide receiver three. So they're going to trot Josh Palmer out there again, who's uninspiring. He's fine. He's uninspiring. So we've got Keenan Allen. You've got Mike Williams. I can definitely see Gerald Everett and Austin Eckler, you know, getting a lot more work, I think, than we realized this week. So I like all three of those guys a lot. But if I had to pick one, I would probably go with Everett, maybe Dulcich. But the only reason why I'm a little bit less bullish on Johnson, just because I worry a little bit about the fact that Foster Moreau came over with Carr from Las Vegas, and also Taysom Hill is still there. But Johnson's metrics were impressive, and like you said, it's a juicy matchup. So I kind of feel like trust your gut here. If there's one of these three guys that really does it for you, any of them I think are as good as the other.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go with Juwan Johnson personally. Tennessee allowed the fifth most points to opposing tight ends last year. So probably a good matchup again. He's my tight end 11. I'm just also just high on Juwan Johnson. So take that with a grain of salt. I think I'm probably out on Greg Dulcich for this week. I just want to see a game first. I'm worried about his usage from the preseason. They're using him as a tight end too. That doesn't always mean anything. It's the preseason, but I am a little worried about Dulcich. So it'd probably be like Johnson for me, then Everett. I actually don't mind Ferguson. I think Ferguson is going to be a good start this year. It's kind of, I'd like to see it first before I trust it. But I think Ferguson could do a kind of poor man's Dalton Schultz in Dallas. So maybe not even that poor of an imitation. So I kind of like all these, but I would wait and see personally on Dulcich. I don't know what his role is yet. So
that is fair.
We've seen this Broncos coaching staff do this too many times to tight ends. I guess it's a new coaching staff, but still they hate these tight ends that the fantasy community loves, Drew. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, well, and to your point too about the new coaching staff, he brought one of his own over. He brought Adam Trautman over, and he's been kind of bumping Dulcich a little bit in usage. So I don't know that I think they're two different kinds of players for me. I think you're going to see Trautman play a little bit more in line, and I think Dulcich will probably play more out wider in the slot. Yeah. I can see in two tight end sets anyway, but I do think that Trautman's probably going to see the field a little bit more than we would like, and that's I think that's part of the reason why Dulcich has kind of fallen down a lot of boards in recent weeks.
Yep. I'll be very curious to see what that offense looks like. There's a chance that Sean Payton just wants to run the ball and ease Russell Wilson into this. They spent a lot of money on offensive linemen and brought in tight ends, and we'll see what this looks like. So, yeah, Dulcich is the tight end you want. Let's just make sure he's playing like 60% of snaps first before we start him. That's where I'm at. So,
yeah.
Okay. Let's get on to defenses here. We'll go for some streaming options under 50% rostered on Yahoo. Drew, let me know which one piques your interest here. We've got these some widely available options too, so you've got plenty of choices here. Atlanta versus Carolina, only 9% rostered on Yahoo. Minnesota versus Tampa Bay at home, both of these are at home. Minnesota is only 8% rostered. Jacksonville at Indianapolis, only 32% rostered. And then Seattle versus the Rams, only 15% rostered. So they're out there in your leagues if you need one. Which one of these do you like the most, Drew?
Well, to me, what jumps out at me is the Jacksonville and Indy. We talked about this before. You mentioned they're the ninth lowest implied total, I think, for Indianapolis. And we talked before about the likelihood, almost the expectation of turnovers in this game. Remember also that the Colts don't have Jonathan Taylor. So Jacksonville, like was the sixth highest scoring defensive unit in 2022, and they were first again over the last 5 weeks. We talked about that. So you're talking about a unit that's kind of been under the radar as it is. There's talent on that side of the ball as well. They've had a lot of talent in the last couple of years of the draft. So I kind of feel like that to me is a very strong start. So I'm trying to find them everywhere I can. I think everyone's all over Washington this week because they play the Cardinals, and that's completely understandable. But I like Jacksonville just as much, if not even more. So that's at a 32%, I think, is it's criminal that with so many people that are streaming defenses that they're that lightly owned. I think it should be a lot higher than that. So that's my pick there. I think the Rams is also being without Cooper Kupp kind of makes me a little bit interested in Seattle if they're sticking around. I don't know who Stafford's going to throw to. We talked about this before. As Tyler Higbee can only do so much. So I guess that's another one that I'm looking at. And then you have Atlanta against a rookie quarterback. You said only 9% owned. That seems pretty low. I can understand. Go ahead.
I actually like Atlanta. I mean, mm-hmm. I think behind Jacksonville, they're at home. Third lowest implied point total for the mm-hmm. Panthers. They have looked very rough in the preseason. We don't know if that's necessarily going to carry over, but this is a brand new offense, rookie quarterback. Miles Sanders has been dinged up in the preseason. I think Thielen maybe has been dinged up or maybe just not impressive lately, one or the other. So I don't know. Like it's not looked very good in the preseason with Carolina. So I could see Atlanta. You know, they got Jesse Bates. They put a little money into their defense, being at home, fired up week one. I could see some turnovers there out of Bryce Young.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one that I like the least is the Minnesota one. I mean, we talked about that they were kind of a weak unit last year. I do have some hope for that defense with a new change of coordinator. But I do, like I said before, I think Baker's going to be a little bit better than we expect. I'm of those four, I'm comfortable fading Minnesota. I kind of go Jacksonville, Seattle, Atlanta in that order.
All right. Well, I think that wraps this one up. I mean, we'll obviously have a lot more statistics next week after we've got an actual game of action to look back on, give you some snap counts on running backs, stuff like that. Keep an eye out. Like I said, on Monday night, Tuesday morning, we'll have a combination of what we saw and waiver wire podcast coming your way. I'm excited about that one. I think it's going to give you a lot of actionable information. But of course, look out for what we saw article that will be coming out as well. We've got Sit Start as we speak on the website. So yeah, Drew, I don't know. I'm really excited about everything we got coming up here.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a great season. I can't wait for that football's finally here. I'm so excited. I hope you're all excited as we are. So bring on the wings, bring on the pizza, bring all the snacks on, the cold beverages. Let's do this.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.